Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Sauce in the City. Today, I'm so excited to be here with singer and songwriter Noah Kahn.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you so much for being here. This is really, really awesome. So let's start out with the basics. Where are you from? How old are you? Where did you grow up? What's your story?
I grew up in Stratford, Vermont and Hanover, New Hampshire. So Stratford is a town that kind of borders the New Hampshire-Vermont border. And I grew up on like an 150-acre farm in Vermont and also like a little townhouse in the town of Hanover. So very small town. And I just grew up there playing soccer, going to school and doing the white person suburban life thing.
How far are like the two areas? I know nothing about that.
So I was born in Stratford, and it's a town of about 1,000 people, very small, but it's about an hour away from any like really major civilization. So we moved to Hanover, which is like 45 minutes from Stratford, and went to Hanover High School, which is Hanover's a bigger town. It's home to Dartmouth College, and it has about 10,000 people. So.
Oh, right. I've actually been there for a crew camp.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool city. It's like a very nice New Hampshire town, but Stratford is where I was born, and we would kind of go weekends to Stratford and weeks in Hanover.
Cool. What was it like growing up in Vermont/New Hampshire, like on a farm?
It was pretty alike to any other, you know, childhood, I think, any kind of middle class childhood. But I had a lot of space to do whatever I wanted. We have 150 acres of like trees and like woods to explore. So it was a lot of kind of outdoor time and being out in nature and kind of being alone a lot and having a lot of isolation and a little bit of loneliness, which I think kind of like lent itself to where I ended up as a musician. I just grew up kind of having a connection with nature and feeling like the outdoors is my home.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's so beautiful up there. I'm just recalling when I was there over a summer. And when did you start getting into music? Were you always into it? Like, where does that come from?
So I started playing music when I was like, started singing when I was like 8 years old, and I was so shitty at it. It was crazy, but I like just really wanted to be a singer, and like I would listen to my mom's iPod, and she had all these, she had Cat Stevens and Paul Simon, mm-hmm. and I was like, just the coolest shit ever. So I would like, I was just trying to like emulate them as a little kid, and the results were like insanely depressing. I would just write like super depressing songs in my room without any guitar or like melody really. And then like try to practice them at like my school talent shows. And I remember playing the first time I ever performed was at my like elementary school talent show. And I sang a song I wrote called Wednesdays Are the Worst Days of My Life. And I like finished the song and it was like stunned silence. And I was like, oh word, dude, I just fucking crushed that. And like an hour later, like the school therapist was like, yo, we're putting you in therapy. Like that was the saddest shit anyone's ever heard. Like, you cannot have all these feelings for an 8-year-old kid. So
that's so funny.
Yeah. So I started off and like just writing sad songs when I was 8, and I wrote my mom's an author. So I like, oh, she cool. inspired, she told me to write every day, and I started writing music every day. And, I just continued to do that like throughout my childhood. And
oh, that's really cool. Is she like a fictional writer? What is she?
My mom wrote, she did a little bit of fiction, but she was mostly historical nonfiction and also like advice books. She wrote these books, it's like the Teaching Your Kids series. So she like was teaching her kids about sex and like teaching her kids manners, and it was like super funny because she would use anecdotes from like our childhood in the books.
That's
and
they wild. Became
like bestsellers in like China. So like a bunch of like Chinese kids are reading about me, like asking what my penis was for the first time. So just like ridiculous stuff that like was super embarrassing but like really funny because she has a great sense of humor. And
wow, that you must have had like a really fun childhood.
Yeah, my parents were definitely very like very hippies? Creative kind of hippies, but like hippies, weekend hippies kind of. Like my mom and dad both worked, obviously my mom an author and worked at a publishing company, my dad was a computer as a networking engineer, so both like very intelligent, educated people, but are just like very funny, self-deprecating, like free-spirited people. So like dinner at our family at our house is just like everyone roasting each other and like telling jokes, and it's just a scene for sure.
And so you were always like kind of attracted to the more folk music, and trying to think of, sorry, you're 24?
23.
23. So like same age as me, as opposed to I'm trying to think of like what was popular when we were young, like pop.
Yeah. Like when we were growing up, I mean, the first like record that I like really connected with that wasn't like an older classic record was American Idiot by Green Day.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of I got really into like the Good Charlotte and like the Simple Plan, you know, yeah. Like the very angsty
the
like
Black emo Parade.
Pop. Yeah. Oh my God. My Chemical Romance. Fuck me up. So I listened to that kind of stuff all the time and I was really just into like the emotional stuff. And it just happens the first guitar I started to play was an acoustic. And so I think like emotional acoustic music kind of lends itself to the folk space a little yeah. more. And as I got older, I started to explore like Bon Iver and, you know, and like the Bright Eyes and bands like that that were more folky acoustic based. So I kind of started to write in that way. And that's the stuff that really took off for me creatively.
That's awesome. And going back to Wednesdays are the worst day.
Yeah.
How did your parents react when you were writing all these really sad songs as an 8-year-old?
They were just like, what the fuck? Well, I mean, they would just be like, yeah, it's really good. Like, but also are like, are you doing okay? And like, what's going on in your head that you're writing this shit down? I don't know. I would think like growing up from a young age, like I was always like a little bit like emo and depressed. And like, it was just like the way of expressing it was like writing these really sad songs. And I was just like such a little kid that it just came as a surprise to them that I was like, had so much going on in my head. And like,
yeah,
cause like I was when you're a little kid, like you don't know how to express those feelings. It kind of comes out in action. And I would just like write, I was writing just depressing songs to get my feelings out, I guess. Yeah, my mom was like, yeah, like always trying to like push me in like a more like positive direction. She's like, why don't you write a song about like how cool your day at school was today? I was like, no way. We're writing a song about like a rainstorm today. Or we're writing a song about how Wednesdays suck. I don't care.
I love that. So when did life as a musician really take off for you? And what was that like?
I guess it kind of all started when I was, there's a kind of a couple different phases of my like breakthroughs, I guess, in my music career. And I spent a lot of time, like I said, writing just every day and playing. I started to put my songs on SoundCloud with the help of some friends who would produce them for me, kind of like EDM type production. And with the folk EDM thing that like Avicii was really doing at the time. And we're trying to emulate that a little bit. And we were putting these songs on SoundCloud and they started to get like a lot of local traction. Like people were like, oh, like you're not just that like weird Jewish kid that annoys me in math class. Like you can actually sing and like play. And so I was getting like some traction locally and doing a lot locally with musicians. And then like randomly one of the songs that I put on SoundCloud was called Sync, just started to like blow up on SoundCloud. And a music manager from New York reached out and was basically like the moment of like, hey, like I think you can really do this. I manage all these people and I would love to come to Vermont and like meet you and like convince you to do this as a career because I think you can really do it. And I mean, I immediately was like, this dude's for sure a pedophile. I'm not going to respond. No chance. Anyone cold emailing like a 16-year-old kid is definitely either like a liar or trying to have sex with them. So I didn't respond for a couple of days and I just kind of waited on it. And then I talked to my mom and she was like, listen, he may be a pedophile, but we have to take a chance because this is like your time. You're getting the traction. So we responded to him and he ended up not being a pedophile, but he came to Vermont and we met him and at a restaurant and he kind of explained to me how he thought I could pursue a career in music. And he ended up like bringing me out to LA and we recorded the song that he really liked, Sync, and then we played it for Republic Records, who he had connections with, and they offered me a record deal. So that's kind of how that all started. It was like really quick, like a week basically of turnaround between like me getting in touch with this dude and getting an offer from a record label.
That's wild. So your parents are really supportive, it sounds like.
Yeah, they were. I mean, this was my dream, always had been my dream, and they knew that. And also I have three siblings and like college is expensive. And I got accepted at Tulane.
Oh, cool.
And so it was kind of like, all right, do you want to go to Tulane and like drink for 4 years and we have to spend $63,000 a year to send you there to end up being a musician afterwards anyway? Or do you want to like take this record deal now, this like once in a lifetime opportunity and kind of chase this down? And, it was really kind of an easy call for them and
yeah.
They were very supportive and, yeah, they've been supportive the entire time. Like, I think they're just stoked they don't have to pay for me to go to college.
Yeah, I mean, that's so awesome. I feel like it's rare that that parents see that potential of something, and obviously it, you know, carried out. So in a week, you were 16, and in a week your, like, life changed. What was that like?
Yeah, I think I was 17, actually. I think I was a senior in high school. But, I mean, it was just nuts. Like, it literally felt like I was living like in a movie. It felt like I was in a movie about a kid who gets his dream realized. And I was kind of trying to just, the way I was handling it was I was just dealing with it as if it was fake. And I was just like, well, what would the person in the movie do? Like, they would kill this audition and they would crush this song and they would write this great song. And I started to kind of play it like that. And I just didn't let myself think about it too much immediately. That obviously changed later as things become more real. But in those first few moments, I was just trying to take it as it came. And it was insane. I mean, it was hard to explain. Like, people didn't really believe me that it was happening. Like, my friends didn't believe me, and my friends' parents heard I wasn't going to college. And the town I'm from is so, it's like the pressure to go to school and go mm-hmm. to a good school, I'm sure, as you guys know, is so intense. And so people were like, oh my God, he's not going to school. Like, this idiot, like, what are you doing? Like, you're doing
like the
music.
High school dropout. Or college dropout.
Literally, people like were, I was like, I feel like people thought I was a burnout a little bit, because they were like, oh, you're not going to college to do music. Like, good luck, you know? And it was hard to explain. I'm like, no, I got like a record deal from like Drake's label is like signing me. Like, I'm actually doing something cool. And it was hard to really show that to them for a while, because it just, the period between signing and like actually releasing music was so long. So those first few weeks were scary, because there was a lot of doubt, but it was also just like a surreal experience.
So surreal. So crazy. Did you stay in LA for a little bit, or did you write in?
So music? I was in, at that time we had moved full time to Stratford. So I was in Vermont, but I would take like 2 week trips to Nashville and LA to write and do like co-writing with people, which was really fun and cool and special, because I would never have gone to LA or Nashville otherwise. So it was kind of a unique experience being able to go to these new cities and like write with big songwriters who had like plaques on their walls and like, I don't know, just collaborate, because I never collaborated with my songwriting before. So it was an interesting experience.
What does your writing process look like? How do you think of your songs? What inspires you?
I'm pretty inspired just by day-to-day life in general, like my kind of experience in whatever's happening in my life. Like at the time that I started getting my deal and writing songs, I was kind of writing songs about the experience I was having, you know, being someone that felt overwhelmed by, you know, this new world I was jumping into, moving to trying to balance my life in these new cities and learning to like navigate the world of music industry. And those are kind of songs, those ideas found their way into my music. So I try to write about whatever's going on. And the writing process is varied. Sometimes I have like an idea I know needs to get down and it'll come out all at once. Or sometimes I'll kind of have to tease it out with melodies or some cool chords in the guitar. And it really depends. But the really great songs, I think, come quickly and come without thinking.
Do you find that process to be cathartic?
I do.
Or like singing in general?
I really do. I think when I write a song that I feel like is really truthful and actually speaks to what I'm going through, it just takes an immense weight off my shoulders. And mm-hmm. songwriting is so personal and so challenging that when you finally do kind of crack the code on a song, it just feels like an insane amount of weight off of my back. And it's a pretty hard feeling to describe. It's just like undeniable success. It's really nice.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. I mean, it's funny because I've talked to people who do all different sorts of art in a way. And even though, you know, podcasting isn't an art per se, just
sure
the
it
act
is, it is.
In its own way, it's a, you know, a means of expression is a good way of putting it. But I find it so cathartic just to talk about things over the microphone and just letting them be, as opposed to holding them in. And like, I'm a very open person regardless, right. But even though I'm talking to a number of strangers who are going to hear this Monday, like, it just feels good to let it go.
Yeah, there's like, you're speaking something into existence. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Be it like on paper, or like with your voice, or into a song, like you're saying something that is inside of you, and that is like in itself cathartic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think podcasting is an art. Like, it's an art to get of the art of conversation is difficult. And
true, that's a really good way of saying.
It's definitely cathartic.
And it sounds like even at a young age, you were talking about like the hard things in your life via song. So did you continue to do that as when you were, you know, had a record signed and a label signed? I don't even know.
Right. Yeah. So, as I said, like my kind of like human experience, I guess, very annoying, condescending way to say it. My human experience was like what found its way into my music. And I've dealt with a lot of like depression and anxiety, and that has obviously found its way into the songs. So I like to write about what I'm going through, and those are things that I really do go through. So they have always been a part of my songwriting process and have always kind of shaded, as they shade everything in my life, they also shade the way I write music and the words I say. So yeah, I definitely write about depression and anxiety a lot, and I think it's important to do so.
Definitely. Do people reach out to you at all about those songs?
I do. People do a lot. Yeah, a lot of folks have connected with the songs I've written about anxiety and depression, because I think so many people are going through it, and mm-hmm. having someone that you like, or whose music you like, speak about something that you're directly going through is really personal, and people have shared that connection with me, and that means a lot always.
Definitely. And do people, either people who are close with you or fans, reach out when, you know, you, because I know your latest album has, you like opened up that there were songs more personal, more sad in that, and that you were going, like, that were reflecting things you were going through. Did people reach out being like, is everything okay? Or
yeah, they do. And it, yeah, it's weird. The people do reach out all the time, like asking if I'm all right, like random strangers. And it's kind of weird, because it feels like I'm like, oh, I don't need you to ask if I'm okay. But like, in when I listen to my songs, I'm like, oh, damn, this does sound kind of like a cry for help. But but it's more just like I'm putting down what I'm feeling, and I'm getting the help I need, and I know how to get myself help. But people do ask me if I'm doing all right, which is always cool, because it's nice to see people caring about each other on the internet, because you don't really see a lot of that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And what advice would you give to people, specifically guys who maybe, you know, aren't musically talented, don't have a passion for singing and songwriting, but like to have that same kind of, you know, cathartic feeling and getting their thoughts and feelings out?
Yeah, mental illness among men is, and women, but particularly young men, is an epidemic, and the suicide rates are much, much higher for young men than they are for anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really important to reduce the stigma and reduce this idea of suck it up, you're a man, that just seems to be so prominent in Western society and wherever society, everywhere. So I think my advice has always been to anyone struggling with mental illness is not being afraid to ask for help, be that through therapy, be that through medication, or just be that through talking to an adult that you trust about what's going on, because it's one of those things that these problems seem so huge in your brain, and so real, and your brain tricks you into thinking that these problems are going to be the rest of your life, that when you finally speak to somebody about them, they become smaller. And when you speak them into existence, be it by writing it down or speaking to somebody or getting more serotonin in your head, you reduce their gravity and their size. And I think it's important to talk to somebody.
Definitely.
And there's no right way to get help. Just asking for it and figuring out what the right way for you is the most important first step.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, therapy is great, and everyone should. I mean, it's expensive, but it should be.
Right. Yeah. It sucks.
But kind of going back to your own personal experience, let's say you're like 17, you know, your career's taking off. Was there ever a point where you were kind of riding a high and all of a sudden, like, I don't know, you got too overwhelmed, whether it be with touring or songwriting or something like that?
Yeah, I think it was like 2.5 years of like nonstop touring and
wow,
and like kind of nonstop, just go, 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 me, you know, a lot of this stuff I've done has just been about me, and a lot of focusing on me and what my image is and what my brand is and how I should say things and how I look. And I didn't really realize what that was doing to my psyche a little bit until this past like year and a half of like slowing down for a second and taking a second after the record was out to really recalibrate. And I think it was like a really damaging time for me. I had a really big song that did well globally, so I was traveling the globe basically to promote it, and the travel and the kind of like ego ride that took me on was costly. And there's definitely there's been moments of recalibration and thinking about what my values are and who I am without success and who I am without constant focus on myself. And it's been a time of like contemplation in that way.
Interesting. So when you said it was like all about you, do you think that was getting to your head? Or
I think it's like you think of the classic scenario, if we're thinking about my life as a movie, which is how I talked about it earlier, like you have the start where you get the record deal, and then you have the climax, which is me fucking it all up and becoming an asshole and getting an ego and like losing all my friends and family. And that's not really how it happens. And I don't think it happened that I got a huge head. It more just when people are telling you all the time how great you are, and people, and you also are also struggling with mental illness as a side, as a sideline thing to that, it's really hard to figure out what the truth is and the truth you're telling, you tell yourself, and the truth that they're telling you. And you try to square those two things together, and it become toxic and hard. So
That's really true.
Yeah. So I was depressed all the time, but I was having people tell me that I was great. And people are cheering
at night. Yeah. It's like literally,
right. You don't know whether to believe yourself or them.
And it literally is kind of like cinematic in its own way.
It is. It's scary, and it's scary to go out every night and you know that there's going to be at least 1,000 people screaming for you every night, and then you're going to go home and have to be by yourself. And it's just the contrast between those two feelings is insane. And I liken Torin to doing drugs, because you're getting this really crazy high and you're just dropping right off to zero, and the hangover is really intense, and it can be really hard for people. And touring artists struggle with that feeling of the drop off all the time. And that's something that I definitely really struggle with.
That's so interesting. I didn't even think about that, but yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I mean, I don't know how someone could like not like your music, but there are people out there who just like to shit on others. And how do you deal with any negative comments on the internet or in person?
Oh, that shit's hilarious. Like my song Hurt Somebody like did really well in Amsterdam. And I guess there's a bunch of like psychos in Amsterdam, because like I got like a lot of death threats specifically from Amsterdam. And
Oh my God, I thought that was such a nice city.
I was like, I know, it's like the most beautiful fucking city in the world. And like everyone's like, I want to kill you every time I hear your song on the radio. I'm like, it's like the most inoffensive song ever. Like, how are you mad at me right now? I think the hating stuff, I rarely get a lot of hate, but when I do, it's just, I know it's sadder for the folks that are hating than it
exactly,
is for me.
Exactly, the projection.
Yeah, it's like, are you okay, brother? Like, you want to kill me because you heard a song with 3 chords in it on the radio? Come on. So, yeah, so that doesn't bother me as much, but it's mostly like...
Maybe they're on something. It is Amsterdam. I mean,
yeah, they're probably high, honestly. And like, if you're getting high and sending death threats, and like, you just need to stop smoking weed for a little while.
Yeah, that's... Wow.
Come to like Detroit and humble yourself back in a real American city.
Oh, man.
Yeah, the haters don't bother me at all, and I just rarely get them. I think it's just a symptom of like being successful and like having done the right thing. Is if people are hating on you, then your music has reached a whole new group of people.
Yeah,
and, like,
exactly.
And the shit's catchy, so like even if you hate it, like I know it's getting stuck in your head, and like there's a chance you're going to stream it, so please keep hating.
So yeah, please keep hating.
Keep streaming.
That's so great. How do you stay humble? Like, you know, after this, like what recalibration do you do? And then...
Well, I go home to Vermont, where I'm from, and I spend a lot of time with my friends and my family and the people that have known me forever, and I just try to be the person I was and have always been before I kind of take these giant leaps into the unknowns of like ego and touring. So I just go home and I talk to my folks and hang out with my dogs, and I try to read and just not let, I don't know, the life I'm living be in my brain all the time. It's hard. It's hard just constantly reminding yourself of what you care about and what's of value to you, and not losing sight of that as you go farther and farther into the career.
Yeah. Well, it's nice that you have a place that is so beautiful and peaceful to go to, and then it happens to be where your family is, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's really nice to like, I go from like, we're playing in big cities, and then just going to like a little farm is like the most humbling thing ever. And like, my dad picks me up in like his minivan from the bus station and like tells me my room's dirty or like that I like am doing something wrong. I'm like right back to where I was before. It's a quick transition, so it's easy to stay grounded when you go home.
That's great. What's it like? Sorry, these are all just all over the place. I'm just thinking of things, but
no, of course.
What's it like collaborating with other writers and singers? Like for some of your songs, I know you've worked with Queen 92 for a song and things like that. Like, do you find that they are going through similar things? Like, or what do you talk about with them?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think most artists are like, especially in like the singer-songwriter world, are like going through a lot of the same things.
Yeah.
And it's nice to talk to somebody who like, it's a very unique experience, and having someone who shares that unique experience is really important, because you're able to kind of bounce feelings off each other. And, you know, working with Quinn and getting the chance to work with someone who I really look up to, and finding out that they're like a real human being that has thoughts and fears and doubts like me, is it's really refreshing and nice because you get to kind of demystify these really,
yeah, and relate to someone
who's really heroic people to you.
Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, and like they're going through similar things and can actually relate to that touring high and low and things like that.
Exactly. And it's really nice to be able to have that kind of conversation with someone and just be like, hey, like, is this shit crazy? And they're like, yeah, this shit's crazy, dude. Oh my God. And you're like, holy shit, I know. And then you got to have that connection with people because you lose that with your friends and your family because they're just not going through it.
Yep.
So having those moments of like, oh, you get this and I get this. Let's talk about it. It's nice.
That's awesome. If you could collaborate with anyone, who would it be?
With anybody in the world, dead or alive?
Sure.
Okay. Well, fuck. I'd probably collaborate with the Beatles. Well, I'm not sure if they would want to collaborate with me, but I would, okay. I would sneak my way into the writing room somehow. And if I could collaborate with someone alive, I would probably want to work with Bon Iver. It's like my all-time favorite.
Love Bon Iver. Like my all-time favorite artist. He's so great. I think your voice, and it would be really cool to hear you and like Maggie Rogers sing.
I met her the other night. I was playing a show at Pianos, and she was just like randomly like playing with one of the people that was
performing. Yeah, I saw your Instagram story.
And I was like, oh, dude, this girl sounds just like Maggie Rogers. Like, no way. I'm like, dude, she looks just like Maggie Rogers. And like, seriously, like, I didn't put the pieces together even then. I was just like, looking, like, damn, this girl sounds and looks like Maggie Rogers. There's a Maggie Rogers lookalike at the show right now. Then until singing? I met her afterwards, she's like, my name's Maggie. I was like, oh my God, you're actually Maggie Rogers. Holy shit.
That's so funny.
She's so great. She's amazing.
Yeah,
she's,
did you know she went to my high school? She moved me in to my boarding school.
In Maryland?
Delaware.
Wait, did you have a class with her? My cousin taught math there. Jory?
Jory Khan?
Yeah, it's my cousin.
Oh my gosh. Wait. Oh my God. Mr. Khan is Mr. your Khan, cousin?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like it's a pretty unusual last name.
Oh my gosh. My mind is blown. Yes.
So you had class with him?
Yes. I love Mr. Khan.
No
he
way.
Went to Tufts Med.
He did. Yeah, he did. That's my cousin. That's my cousin Jory. He lives like in Norwich, Vermont. Or he used to live in Norwich, Vermont.
Oh my gosh, my mind is so, everyone no loved way. Jory Khan. Everyone loved him.
Yeah, because he's like the handsome, like nerdy glasses Jory. I love that's my man Jory. That's crazy.
Shout out Jory. Shout out Mr. Khan.
Shout out Mr. Khan. I like that.
Yeah, but okay, so he had Maggie as his student too, and I mean she was 2 years older than I was, but
yeah, he was always bragging about her at Thanksgiving. He's like, yeah, I know Maggie Rogers. Like I taught her. Was it math?
Yep.
Yeah, he's like, I taught her math. That's crazy. Oh my God. Wow, what a small world.
Small world.
Holy shit. Gosh. Well, how was she in like high school? Was she a cool person to be around?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't have any classes with her, but she was super nice and just so talented.
It was
just
like you knew.
Yeah. It was one of those things where it was like she will be famous, or if she's not, she should be famous kind of thing.
Right, right. She was just really always on the trajectory.
Yeah, my best friend was like in the a cappella band with her, so
nice.
It's pretty crazy just seeing her now on like the radio and being like, well,
do you still keep in touch?
No. No. But my
drop a like on Instagram every once in a while. Like, I'm like, I know you.
You know, we have like a painting together on the school and things like that.
Sick. So. You collabed with Maggie Rogers. Insane. I know. How was that collaboration? What was that experience like for you?
So it was really memorable.
I always wonder about like what it was like to be like with people who became famous like in high school, like what that is like.
So like basically what it'd be like to be a classmate of yours?
I was an absolute idiot in high school. I always think about that. I'm like people like I'm just such at odds. Like I was so obnoxious and like loud just because I'd grown up there my entire life and like. It's funny, I'll write these like really sad songs. I feel like people from my high school are like, dude, what are you doing? Like, who are you now?
No, that's great. Okay, so I always end these like these deep questions because I think they're interesting. I really need a way to like ask that without it just being weird.
No, of course. No, it's been great.
Okay.
Natural.
If what's one thing in your life that's happened to you that's made you a stronger person today?
I think, I mean, there's a few things, but I think taking the risk of not going to school and deciding to like take the leap into being a musician has made me a stronger human being. Not even a musician, just a human being. Just knowing that you can take a risk and it'll pay off is a really important thing. And it's a leap that a lot of people, I feel like, are too afraid to take. And kind of skewing from the norm was something that I was really, really afraid to do my whole life. And finally doing that proved to me that I have my own worth without a college degree, or a consistently paying job, and finding like my kind of self-worth in that experience was really rewarding and really important for me as a developing person.
But I love that. That's so true. And I think people are so scared to take those risks now because there is so much external pressure and internal pressure. Like,
oh yeah. I mean, just endless kind of expectation, especially like, yeah, people in the early 20s and late teens and late 20s, just the pressure to like have a job and make money, and like the cost of living is high everywhere, and it's mm-hmm. scary, and like it's really scary, and I totally understand it. I would never knock someone for taking the traditional route, but I just think the courage is, having courage is important, and doing what you want to do is important, and like standing up for your dreams.
Yeah, definitely. Do you believe everything happens for a reason?
I do believe everything happens for a reason. I think I never had a plan B for myself. And I think that every failure I have, or anyone has, will lead them to where they need to be. I just believe that. I'm not incredibly religious, so I like to believe in some kind of predefined destiny, or just something to believe in is important. Especially,
agreed.
I don't know. Everyone becomes so cynical, and like I get so cynical, and just like waking up every morning and be like, I know there's a reason that I'm going through. Right now is nice, because it makes the struggle and the pain of some things worth the wait.
Definitely. When's your birthday?
I'm January 1st, 1997.
Oh, wow. So we were born on...
Born on New Year's. Yeah, it sucks because everyone's hungover on my birthday. And no one's ever counting down to Noah's birthday. So tough.
Are you Capricorn?
Capricorn. Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
Is that good? I don't know anything about star signs.
Honestly, I don't know much, but it's something to believe in. You know?
Yeah, of course. I should get more into star signs.
I love astrology, but I don't know much about Capricorns. I'm a Capricorn moon, so.
So what's your star sign?
I'm a Virgo, so that March? Makes out. No, September 21st.
I don't know what
21st night of September.
I believe in that shit, because like everyone says Scorpios are like really hardcore people, and like my brother's a Scorpio. And
yeah,
he's,
my
like,
mom.
All over the place.
My mom's like, so yeah, and then Virgos are super like hard on themselves and like perfectionist and high.
Yeah.
Like, that's me.
Word. Okay, I gotta get into star signs for sure.
Yeah. It's a cool thing to believe in. If a crystal ball could tell you anything about yourself, your life, the future, or anything else, what would you most want to know?
I would like to know if I'm making the right choices, and like if what I'm doing right now and the things I've done and the decisions I've made have been part of the plan that was made for me, and if it's going to lead me to like happiness eventually. Because a lot of times, especially in like a career in music and like a career in the creative arts, like you just do so much grinding and you don't know if it's going to pay off. And I just want to know that there's a payoff. I would really love to know, because it's like, I just want to make sure this shit I'm going through is worth the wait.
Yeah.
So I would ask if I'm going to like be successful in the future, and also if I'm going to get a nose job eventually. Because I've just been thinking about it, and I don't want to make the decision for myself. So the crystal ball could tell me, that would be really nice.
You'd be like, that's funny. But don't you feel like the crystal ball would, you would like kind of in the back of your head know that it was like, yes, everything's going to be okay.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. There's a part of me that like wouldn't want to ask. But I think, I don't know. I like to believe it's all going to be okay, but it would be nice to just have some like, some job security would be great.
Yep. No, I feel that completely. What do you love most about yourself?
I think I like my ability to talk to anyone. I have a good ability to like I don't know, get along with people, and I don't know. I've always been able to make connections with people like in a short amount of time, and that's something that I really cherish and think is special.
It's a great quality.
Yeah, I think it's nice. I like that. I like that about myself.
No, you love it about yourself.
I love it about myself. And I don't think about things I love about myself a lot, but that is one thing I do care about, like being able to connect with people.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a great quality, because it's how, I don't know, that's true. Thank you for connecting with me.
Absolutely. No, thank you so much for being here.
Because it helps me in this case, for sure. And last question, name of the podcast. How do you find solace in the city, or in Vermont, or LA, or Amsterdam?
I find solace in the city by allowing myself to be afraid of it and giving it time to kind of be the place it needs to be for me. What, like, just experiencing it for its ups and downs and the craziness of New York and the kind of the strangeness of it and kind of trying to take it all in as it is instead of trying to make it what I want it to be.
Love that. What's your
very abstract answer? I'm sorry. That was a hard question to answer. I haven't found much solace here, honestly. Like, I saw a dude on the subway like throw up last night, so it was super gross.
God, that's literally my nightmare.
I'm constantly anxious and scared, but I'm working on it.
But I feel like sometimes though, there's, you know, you like pass by something like Central Park or walk by a cool place in the East Village, and you're like, yeah, that's pretty cool.
It's crazy. It's like ups. It's totally like it's opposite. It's like I'll walk. No, it's like I'll see like something awful, like disgusting and terrible, and then I'll see like some like really nice person on the street like do something nice for somebody else, and it's like, oh shit. There's like no in between. It's either like up and horrible down or great. And it's very bipolar, but I kind of like that. And it's always like unique and exciting.
Amazing. Okay, well, I have these amazing microphones, which I, you know, am very excited about. And I would love if you could sing something because
I want to
take advantage of these microphones.
Absolutely. Yeah, I will. I'm super nasally right now, but I will try to do my best and sing.
I'm sure you'll be great. Allie, what song should he sing?
Do you have a favorite one?
Okay, what's your favorite of your own songs?
That's
a good question. Damn.
I like, should be something that's out.
Ooh.
I could play, I've been like, sometimes I like to just play stuff I'm just like writing at the moment.
Ooh, do that.
But if that's like not what people want, then I won't do that.
Do what you want.
Cool. I'll play a little song about mental health that I've been writing.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
It's called The Troubled Mind. I've just been working on it. It's not done yet, and I can't sing some of the parts. It's super high, but I'll try my best. So
I'm so excited to hear it. Okay, how does this work?
Here, I can just grab the guitar. All right.
Told you love if you could see it from my eyes. You'd understand my fear of everything in sight. I know that lately I've been trying hard to find to fix my troubled mind. My brain's a dog asleep that I cannot let lie. Cloudy head, but I can't find a single silver lining. Guess there is no hope for me in sight to fix this troubled mind. I worry for the sun, yes, I worry for the snow. I worry I'll die young, oh, I worry I'll grow old. I worry for the time I spent worrying alone, it makes me sad. It takes me back. I break in half. I took a bus out to the city where you live. Eavesdropped on strangers' conversations with their kids and hoped that maybe they'd say something relevant to ease my troubled head. With every mile the path just amplified my fear. I started counting all the times I saw you last year, and suddenly it all became so clear. It was sadly making sense. I worry for the sun, yes, I worry for the snow. I worry I'll die young, well, I worry I'll grow old. Oh, I worry for the time I spend worrying alone. It makes me sad. It takes me back. I break in half. I worry for the sun, oh, I worry for the snow. I worry I'll die young, oh, I worry I'll grow old. Oh, I worry for the time I spent worrying alone. It makes me sad. It takes me back. I break in half. I break in half. I break in half. Told you love if you could see it from my eyes. You'd understand my fear of everything inside. I know I quickly sell my heart for some advice on how to to ease a troubled mind.
That is so beautiful. Thank you. My gosh. Wow, that is so cool to see. But
thank you so much. Yeah, thank you so much. It means a lot.
When do you think that will like be out? And also, how can you like, where can all my listeners listen to you, find you, support you, plug you, hear you, see you?
You can find my music on Spotify or on Apple Music or
you still have SoundCloud?
YouTube. I do still have SoundCloud. Yeah, OG. I had to delete all the old SoundCloud shit that I put out back in the day.
Now it's really famous.
But you can find me on SoundCloud, Apple Music, YouTube, Spotify, and Instagram, Twitter at Noacon Music. And that song, I've never played that live before. So that was the first time I've ever played it like in its entirety. So
I am so honored.
Hopefully someday that'll come out. But
and it'll be on.
You guys are the first ever performance. So thank you so much for letting me play it for you.
Thank you for playing it. That was so beautiful. And I'm so excited for it to be out there. And thank you, everyone. And hopefully you give me 5 stars for this episode because I deserve it.
Give her 5 stars or you're just a piece of shit. Honestly, I'm sorry.
Honestly. All right. Bye, everyone.